to Rantpocalypse Talks Game of Thrones. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly. My mic is on, right?
Yeah, your mic is on. Your mic is on.
Yes, I'm such a professional.
You are a professional at this. But yes, welcome to Rantpocalypse Talks Game of Thrones. We are going to be your poor man's Game of Thrones after show for this evening here on Facebook Live. And it will be also up for you to listen to on demand on YouTube, as well as iTunes and Stitcher and Pocket Casts and wherever else it may be in the world of audio forms. And
I told somebody today, I said, just put in podcast streaming places or something, you know, stupid like that. And I said, it'll show up.
It'll show up. You just type in Rantpocalypse on the internet, basically.
Yeah.
And it should pull up all of our junk. And it's the easiest to find everything is just go to rantpocalypse.com. But if you want to listen on the go, you've got to go to the iTunes and the Stitchers and all those places, or YouTube if you want to see our lovely faces after we do it each and every Monday night, Facebook Live. We recap and discuss and review the latest Game of Thrones episode. For this week's podcast, we're going to be discussing Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 2, entitled Stormborn.
This is the second title that we've had that is all about Dany.
Yeah. The first one was Dragonstone, and then now we've got Stormborn. So we're gonna change it up, because somebody suggested that they missed a certain thing that we did for each week's episode. We are going to continue to have the topics, because I like having the topics. It's fun. And plus, like, if we ever want to break them out for a video that's just like that one topic, it's fun. It's fun for like the people on YouTube, so that we can just watch like one specific thing they want to tune into.
Right.
And also, before we get into the recap and review, I just want to say again, thank you so much to Robin. You rock so much. I know that you might have been like maybe embarrassed or something. I don't know. Some people are embarrassed if they like get called out for certain things, even when it's like great things that they do.
Yeah.
I know I'm always a little bit weird. Like any praise that I get, like in jobs and stuff like that, I'm always a little bit weird about, especially when it's in front of other people. And we did put that video out in front of other people to see.
For everybody to see.
Yeah, for everybody to see. But wanted to say thanks again to Robin. She is our first patron on Patreon.com, where she went and pledged her support to Rantpocalypse and said, "I love you guys, and I'm going to give some, you know, throw some bones your way to help support you guys to do more podcasts, to do more TV show recaps and reviews."
And she just blocked us because she's like, "I'm sick of y'all. Yeah. That's enough. That's enough." And by the way, Justin, you're doing a fantastic job.
Oh,
just,
thank you.
I just thought you should know that.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much. all right. So we are going to bring the synopsis back, and then we'll get into our overall episode thoughts. Then we'll get into topic number two. Is Dany more than just her three dragons? That's a very controversial topic to some Dany lovers out there. And then topic number three, will Jon lose the North? And then topic number four, overall chat discussion. You guys in the chat, let us know what you want to talk about, and we will discuss it. So on to the episode synopsis for Stormborn. In this episode, Daenerys receives an unexpected visitor that didn't get naked in this episode for once. It was very surprising. You know, typically when we see Melisandre, whenever she's around, she tends to unrobe and show us the boobies. But she did not in this episode. She kept it very PG. Whenever she made her trip to Dragonstone. Also, Jon faces a revolt. I don't know about that. I don't know if he really faced a revolt in this episode. I feel like he faced the oncomings of a revolt in this episode. So I thought that was weird that in the synopsis they put Jon faces a revolt. I feel like somebody's projecting a little bit too much in this synopsis that they wrote down. Somebody's not a big fan of Littlefinger and Sansa hanging out in the North. Don't you feel like that way? That's where they're going with this synopsis. Jon faces a revolt. Like, I feel like they should have had like 10 exclamation marks after they put that in the synopsis. Like,
or
really
a
pissy.
question mark.
Yes, or a question mark. And then Tyrion plans the conquest of Westeros. So he did definitely make some very good plans in the middle of this episode. I liked how this episode picked up right where last week's episode left off. Dany getting to Dragonstone and everything. She's there and she is ready to conquer the world. She says, "Shall we begin?" at the end of episode one. And in episode two, they've got their war council. They're all planning everything. And I do felt like Tyrion came up with a very solid plan, and he completely just read every move in his mind that Cersei and Jaime were actually going to make. It's just unfortunate that he didn't plan for that wild card in Euron, Mother Flippin' Greyjoy.
I thought it was really extremely interesting for him to come up with that plan. I mean, no matter how much you hate your sister, how do you plan for her destruction like that? To just like, y'all go up, wipe her out, just kill her. I know how she thinks. I know what her moves will be, and let's just go this direction. To me, the thing about it was, it made it where I felt like Danny could go, you know what? My man, Tyrion, he's on my side.
I completely agree. The plan that he came up with, the fact that he saw, like, he had the foresight to say that we can't attack King's Landing with with the Dothraki, with the
No
Unsullied.
foreigners.
Yeah, no foreigners can attack King's Landing because he said that basically Cersei was going to use that against them and get all the nobles on their side to say that these savages are coming to take over your lands, to rape and pillage your wives and kill your kids and basically wipe you from existence. Like, your history will cease to exist. And not only that, like, that he planned that out, but the fact that he was going to destroy his ancestral home. Casterly Rock was like, that's their spot. And he's not was is prepared to destroy the home of the Lannisters, which is kind of crazy.
I think I would have said, look, go find Cersei, sneak in, cut her throat, don't mess with my stuff, because I'm planning on moving back there. So don't, please don't burn anything down there. I did think it was kind of interesting that he didn't seem to have a problem with sending troops to Casterly Rock, but King's Landing, he was like, no, let's not lay that into ashes. I didn't really understand why there was a big difference between the two for him.
Well, I think he knows that right now Casterly Rock's not as protected, for one. And I think that I don't know why, that other than his disdain for his father and how much, he really hated Tywin. At the end of the day, like, he despised him so much. Not to blame Tyrion for not liking Tywin all that much, because we were talking about it before we started recording, the fact that can Tyrion put aside his love of the Lannister name and the love of his family, his brother and sister? No matter how terrible his sister has been to him, she's still his sister. But the real linchpin of terribleness was their father. Tywin was the one that illustrated that it was okay to say that Tyrion was the one that killed their mother and everything, because he could have shut that down immediately back before. So I don't know. I just feel like I feel like the fact that Tywin took such stock in Casterly Rock, and, like, that is the home of the Lannister name, that he maybe that's kind of like another just like slap in the face to his dead old dad, that he was going to destroy it with these quote unquote savages and everything. So I don't know. I kind of felt like that might be what was going on with that.
Do we move immediately into how that plan went awry?
I definitely think so, because holy crap, that was totally unexpected, that ending. Who saw that coming? Because it had all the makings of a setup episode, right? Like, it was like, all right, Dany's got her plan now. She's about to put this plan in motion, and we'll probably see some more political squabblings here for a little bit. John's got to make his way down to meet up with Dany. No, holy shit. Euron just came in and wreck that plan to hell.
How did they not? I mean, okay. What is Theon's sister's name?
Yara?
Yara.
Yeah.
How? I thought she was a sailor, wasn't she?
I mean, yeah, they're all ironborn,
Right.
so I
I
mean
know.
that's
I'm just saying. Well, more than Theon, because Theon spent all of his time,
riding
with
horses
the
and like
Starks. Yeah, hanging out with the Starks. You know, living the good life.
living the
How
good
did?
life in Winterfell.
Okay.
If he was in the
Come
South, I could understand him living the good life, but he's up there where, you freeze your
on.
balls off,
It
literally.
okay. It made him tough. Well,
Yeah.
it should have anyway.
It did make him tough. He was ki Okay, this is what's gonna piss me off right here. Everybody's gonna just belittle little, or not little, Theon the entire
Right.
time and be like, oh, look at that coward. Look at him jumping off in the water. What the hell
What
was
else
he
was he
supposed to
supposed to do?
do? Like, I mean,
Exactly.
Euron had a big ass battle axe that he was about to slit Yara's throat with, and you expect Theon to just, what, is he gonna like matrix some shit over there and get him
It
to
was
stop
a.
him from like slicing her throat? Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't know.
Howdy. Yeah.
Everybody's saying that there was like that look in Yara's face, that the look of disgust and the
She
fact
did.
that.
I think she condemned him.
See, I
She
don't.
had a look of disgust. Or,
It
and maybe
looked.
she, maybe it was a realistic look.
I don't know. To me, like when the second time I watched it, I was looking for that. I was like, all right, is she looking at him with disdain or is she like, don't do it? That's. I'm half and half. I'm split. I feel like that there's a 50-50 split to me at this point of where there was no hope in Theon attacking Euron. Like that was just that there was no good that was going to come from that. Now, I don't know if she would have really wanted him to just jump off the boat and just completely just cower in fear the way that he looked whenever he looked at Euron. But there was also a lot of stuff going on around Theon to make him, basically like give him the PTSD and everything. So I don't know. It's Theon was cutting fools down though. That's the thing. Theon looked like a badass. Looked like a badass when he was cutting all Euron's men down. And unfortunately, Yara couldn't take Euron out. Neither could the Sand Snakes. Thank you, God.
I know you were happy to see them go,
I was like,
but
praise the Lord.
I know. I could hear you from all these hundreds of miles away. How do you know what anybody was doing when they decided to shoot it so dark? It was so dark.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that. How do you know who's on your team when you can't see? Everybody looked alike. I mean, they all wear about the same outfit.
Yeah.
Their ships all were basically the same. I mean, they were all built in the same place.
Yeah.
How do you know which ones to burn and whose head to chop off?
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I wanted to tell you that that was one of my biggest annoyances, I guess, with this episode.
Yeah.
And the fact that whenever Euron came in, like his little I don't know what you want to call that, his plank came down on the ship and everything
Yeah,
on
yeah.
onto Yara
I
and Theon's
thought the
ship.
plank was
It
amazing.
was badass, but it was so over the top to me, and the way that Euron like jumped in, it felt like it was straight up out of a Disney theme park ride. That's what I felt like, I was in a Disney theme park ride. Then it like, obviously from that moment on, it went into like crazy balls to the wall action, people getting sliced down, and it was definitely not a Disney ride. It was more like a Westworld theme park for sure at that point. But I don't know, the CGI whenever he came down, and maybe it wasn't. It just, for my first initial viewing, it looked really crappy. The second time, it didn't look as bad to me, but I'm with you that, yeah, they definitely had it super dark, and I guess that's how Euron got the jump on them, is that it was all foggy, it was nighttime, but still, I'm
And they
with
were sitting
you.
around drinking
Yeah, oh,
and
Jesus. Jesus,
canoodling.
don't bring it up. That was another one of my bad things in this episode. There's a foreign invasion underway.
Yeah,
Really? Really?
let's not plan it out. Let's drink and screw.
Oh yeah, well, yes, it was terrible. I just don't understand the writing of those lines. The Sand Snake's lines, they kill me. I mean, that is about as there's a foreign invasion underway is right up there with you want a bad, you know, you want a good girl, but you need a bad pussy.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Was so bad. Oh my God, it was horrible. Here's a, Robin had this to say about Theon. He said, I'm like you, Justin. I'm a bit of a Theon apologist. I felt bad for him. And then and Robin commented on the fact that you make them stand still long enough to see what armor they are wearing. LOL. That's how you, I guess you're like, hey,
That's perfect.
I
Yes,
can
wait a
see your
minute.
sigil now. Wait, I can't
I
touch you. Oh.
yep, be still. Damn it, be still.
Yeah. I like Joe. You're not, or Zulan said, you're not dissing Disney, are you? No, I love Disney.
No.
Disney is the best.
Disney all the way.
Disney is fantastic. But Joe is correct. Pirates of the Iron Islands, I see that coming to a Disney theme park near you. With Euron comes in, he's like, oh,
I thought that
with that cackling laugh.
I know you didn't like the that what did you call it? The plank.
I get.
I
I
thought
mean.
that was just the greatest thing ever, the way it was parted the front of his ship and it looked so friggin' scary as it was
Yeah.
coming at them, and then it just lowers down and captures their ship
Yeah.
and holds it. I mean, again, it was very convenient.
It was very convenient. But I loved the way it squashed that one person. Somebody got
Yeah.
squashed underneath it. Which I was like, man, of all the luck, you know, you get
Yeah.
squat like you don't even have a chance to like maybe die in the battle. You just immediately get squashed by Euron's big plank. Maybe that's, you know, what he really had. He's got that big plank and everything.
So, is that what he's been bragging about? Is
Yeah.
his big plank? That's it. What about poor Theon? Where does he go from here? Does he get eaten by sharks? Does he get picked up? I mean, somebody's going to have to find him, or he's going to, I don't know, catch I thought of the Titanic.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of Rose telling Jack, you know, I won't let go, I won't let go as he
She
goes
just
down
let
into the
go.
water. Yeah, and she lets him go,
Oh,
you know?
it's getting
So.
a little cold. I'm gonna let you go now.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's all
Breaks
about.
off his hand and
Yeah.
pushes him down.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what's gonna happen with Theon. Theon is. He had this ultimate comeback story. Ultimate comeback story. You know, he jumps off, you know, with Sansa, and you think that he's on the road to redemption. He says, "I can't come with you. I've got to go, you know, back to the Iron Islands. I've got to go meet up with my sister and everything." And
And be a hero.
yeah, and be a, you think he's going to be a hero. You start to see those signs in this episode whenever, you know, Yara and Ilaria, they're doing their canoodling and whatnot, and you start to see those like PTSD things come up where he's reminded that he doesn't have a penis, and that was his one of his favorite things in life. Which is again is another funny thing about the fact that how many dudes with no penises are on this show now?
I know.
There's a lot. So
There is a lot.
you go down the list. You've got Theon, no penis. Then you've got Varys, no penis. Then I don't know.
Grey Worm
Does
does
Grey
not have a
Worm have
penis.
not a penis?
He has no
Has
penis.
no
Well,
penis.
okay, I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe he
See, I thought they had no
has
balls.
a Yes, I mean, maybe he has a penis.
Yeah, I don't know. The
It's
verdict is
but
still out there.
it's so funny that you would say that, 'cause I was actually going to Google I guess castration
Yeah.
to see what was and wasn't possible
Well, I
with
mean, you
that.
know, obviously you get your pets castrated. They still, they, you know, my dog, he still has a you
Please, let's
know,
just not go there with your
male
dog.
genitalia.
He does.
Yeah, so I don't know. That whole scene there, it kind of threw me off that, you know, yeah. So again, no penis there, at least we think. 50-50, maybe one's there, maybe one's not there. John has a penis, will never use it again. He's never going to use it again. So he might as well not have one,
Why
right?
is he not?
Because
Why is he not?
he's true to his one lady in life. You gripped.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a
Okay.
lot. That's a lot right there. That's a lot of dudes. But that was a total side note. Joe said, "My guess is Grey Worm has a penis because he's one of the Unsullied and not called a eunuch." I agree. I think, you know, the
Yes.
eunuch has
Okay.
nothing. You know, it's just like
Right.
a Ken doll down there. But I think that the Unsullied still, they still have the meat, right? They just don't have the tackle. Is that how it is? I don't know. Is
They
that the
don't
saying?
no I don't even know. And that brings up the whole question of how do you urinate if they cut the meat off? But anyway,
I don't know.
it's this is totally different subject.
Yeah, that's not one of our topics this week,
No.
guys. I'm so sorry.
Stick to the topics.
Yeah, no, none of that's not on the topic list this week. But back to Theon.
Yes, and Sue Ellen has a really great point that
Yes.
they would have cut his sister's throat
A
had he
Theon.
gone towards Euron.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that's ultimately what Euron wanted, was that he wanted Theon to come after him. And yeah, I think he would have killed Yara in that moment right there. It's still weird though. Like, what does Euron do with Yara? Because if she's still around, she's always going to be a threat to his claim to the Iron Islands. And so this is now Euron's gift, right? So this is Euron's gift to Cersei that he talked about in
Right.
episode one. Is he going to give, like, is Cersei going to care that Yara is one of the gifts? No, she's going to want Ellaria and one of the Sand Snakes. That's a good gift because Ellaria killed
Yes.
Myrcella and everything. But Yara, what is it? Is this like a bonus? I don't
Yes,
know if she's going to
I
want
think
that
it's
bonus though.
I think it's I think maybe it is a bonus. Because obviously, at first, my first viewing, I thought that Mama Sand Snake was the
Yes.
one that was hanging from the but or actually I thought it was I thought it was one of the Greyjoys. I need my notes
Oh,
for
yeah.
everybody's names.
The names be hard.
The names are so hard. So yeah, I think that that's the big gift is the sand snakes
Yes.
to Cersei.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that Walder Frey learned that you don't leave anything alive that could possibly come back to haunt you. So having Lady Greyjoy still alive is a big mistake.
Yeah, I think it's a huge mistake for Euron, and I ultimately feel like maybe that's Theon's redemption, because if you remember back, Yara tried to come save him from Ramsay in a couple of, so was that season five, I think, that she came to try and save him, and he wouldn't leave the cage. Like, he bit
Right.
her in trying
Right.
to stay there because he was so fearful of Ramsay and what Ramsay would do to him, and so I feel like maybe that is Theon's ultimate redemption, is that now he must save Yara. And, you know, is that, I guess, cliche or kind of like, I don't know, some people might think of that as poor writing.
No.
I don't
I mean
know, but
they're brother and sister.
yeah, I kind of like it. You know, I like, I don't, I am a Theon apologist, and for a lot of the guys on this show, it's always been all about trying to get the love and approval from their fathers, from their hard-ass fathers, because everybody in Westeros is like, the dads are like the most hard-ass people around because they grew up during Robert's Rebellion, and it was just war, 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 war.
Right.
And, you know, the kids, like, that are, I guess, whatever, the 15 to 25-year-old boys or 30-year-old boys, maybe, I don't know how old. Oh, because no, we did find out that Jamie's like 40 something like that, because I remember that little shit Joffrey said something about him, like, you know,
You're
yeah,
old.
you're old, you're hitting your 40s, where's the rest of your book in the Book of All the Knights and everything.
Right. What an ass.
Yeah, I know, man, that was that part where I was like, Jamie, that's your kid, get your kid in line, get your kid in line right now.
Beat him now.
Yeah, so I mean, I've always been a Theon apologist because, yeah, he just always wanted the love of his father. His father gave him off to the Starks. Obviously, the Starks were way good to him. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He grew up in a in a in as loving of a household that he could have, probably more so than his own father. And I think that's ultimately what Theon realized eventually is that Ned was more of a father to him than his own father ever was, and taught him like the right values and everything. So, but I don't know. I want Theon in the end. I want him to come back and make this redemption story. Like, I want that to happen. So I don't know if it's going to happen.
I think it had to happen the way it did. He had to jump off the ship. Yeah. He had to have PTSD and do the freak out.
Yeah.
That was the only way that he and his sister were going to survive, come out of this. So
I
good point, y'all. Good job.
Yeah,
y'all talked me, moved me back around to the right area that I needed to be.
We circled around it. Some really other quick things that I wanted to talk about with you before we get into the topics. My boy, Jorah Mormont.
Yes.
He could potentially be saved by the man, the myth, the legend, Samwise
Tarly. I'm going to predict this right now.
Yeah.
The Lord of Light predicted the prince who was promised.
Yeah.
It is Samwise Tarly.
That's who it is?
It is Sam.
It's Sam.
Sam has, oh my God, he has, his story has changed so much. He is the man. I am in love with this dude.
I'm in love with Sam as well. And I love that his dad came up in this episode too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably get into that topic of Randall Tarly during topic 2 and 3. But I'm with you. Like, Sam is, he's one of my favorite characters on the show. And I do find it interesting that whenever he was talking to the Archmaester's like trying to teach him how to write, and not just like write, you know, pin letters that are going to go on ravens about war and stuff, but write
poetically.
Write the history of Westeros type stuff. And mm-hmm. it's a part of me thinks that Sam's going to be the last standing survivor.
It's going to be the only one. And that is where we actually get the Game of Thrones. We find out the history of it. It's from Samwise Tarly.
Yes.
I love that he once again has, you know, gone against what he was told to do, and is going to try to save Jorah. But that was the grossest scene. I think it topped the poop and soup from last week.
Yeah,
when they go from, you know, he's peeling the skin and pus is coming out and it's all crusty and crackly to crusty and crackly pie where creaminess comes out of it. I'm like, oh, y'all are trying to kill me.
I know, you're trying to kill my eating vibe right now. I had a nice, you know, I was eating a nice, you know, soup or something like that last week. Now I can't enjoy chicken pot pie anymore.
No, and I'm a big fan of the chicken pot pie.
Yeah, I know. It's so true. Joe said, I'm glad that scene wasn't closer to Thanksgiving. Might make it harder to carve that turkey. It was a rough scene, and I did love that, like, Sam back-to-back weeks has had like this little mix-up mash-up scenes and everything. It was really gross. Is that the same thing as getting an exfoliation, or you get your skin exfoliated? Like, I mean,
that's exactly how it is. When we go in for a facial and when they exfoliate, they give us rum. And they give us something to bite down on, and they just tell us, look, y'all, just don't scream. you'll get me fired.
This is going to be good for you in the end.
Yes,
you know,
you're going to look younger.
Yeah. So Jorah's just going to come out there looking like 20 years younger, and then he's
going
to be able to hook up with Danny.
Yep, Danny's going to fall in love with him. And, you know, it's all golden. It's all going to be great. That's what we wanted in the first place,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I do want that. You know, I get it. People are like, oh, that's gross. He's so much older than Danny. Whatever. Love is love, people. Love is love. I mean,
exactly. And Danny, he's hot as hell. Have you seen his stomach?
I told my girlfriend, I said, that's who I want to look like when I get older. I want to look like Jorah freaking Mormont when I get older. I mean, he's like got a barrel chest. I mean, he's like barrel chested. He's like, hey, I'm Superman. He looks like he's like, you know, like all the images of Superman from like the 50s, I guess. Yeah, somewhere in the 50s. Yeah, that's Jorah freaking Mormont right there. I love him so much, and I'm so glad that Sam may possibly have saved him. And I think that means that the next logical step is for Sam and Jorah to make their way down to Dragonstone and meet up with Dany and Jon Snow, because Jon Snow's going to make his way. And it's going to be great.
It is going to be great. Okay, so wait, do we want to move?
Move where?
I'm just curious about our third topic.
Yes.
Is about John.
Oh, sure.
Losing the North.
Yeah, we can go into that. I just wanted to say something in the comments because Sue Ellen completely affirms your affinity for Jorah Mormont. She said,
I am high-fiving you.
Yeah, Sue Ellen said he is hot, and I hope he and Dany get together. Yes, love is love. So,
yep, and I have a Band-Aid for him.
There you go. He's going to need a lot of Band-Aids. Lots and lots of Band-Aids,
and some,
I think.
Some good Neosporin. Yes. So, yeah.
Definitely going to need a lot of that. Okay, so sorry. I had to give you that comment because I knew that, you know, you're like...
Yes.
You know, that's totally on your side, that Jorah Mormont is hot. Ian Glynn, sexy, sexy dude. Sexy
all about
dude.
It. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, John is going to be making his way to Dragonstone, to Dany, to meet up. I can't even remember what your train of thought was on that. But basically, my question is, is he screwing up? Is he losing the North? That's the topic.
Yes. Is he screwing up and losing the North? I think that he could possibly be doing that, not by going down there to meet up with Dany, because I think that that definitely needs to happen. There's Dragonglass down there because he got the letter from Sam, and that you know, Sam's like, hey, you got to come down here because there's tons and tons of Dragonglass. You need that in order to kill the White Walkers and to fight the Night King and all the whites and everything.
I'm solving all the world's problems here at Old Town. What the crap are you doing, Jon Snow? That's what said on his note.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I did not like the note. I did not like what Dany said about him. The fact that, like, that he needs to come down there and bend the knee. Because, okay, I mean, to me, I think topic two and topic three, they're almost together, you know. Is Dany more than just her three dragons, and will Jon lose the North? They are separate in some ways, and I'll try to go back to what my thought process will Jon lose the North is the fact that that moment that he had with Littlefinger down in the crypt, and you know they're looking at the statue of Ned Stark, and which I made me sad because I'm like,
I know, and it looked just like him. It was so great.
I know. I thought that was a very sad moment, but it was also cool because I think is that the first time that they've actually ever had scenes together. I'm sure Robin can confirm this for us because she's like our Game of Thrones aficionado right now at this point. And I feel like that was their first scene together.
Well, he did say, I mean, other than, you know, I mean, him standing, Littlefinger standing in the back of the room going.
Yeah. But they didn't have, I don't feel like they've ever talked.
Well, Littlefinger says, you know, we've never really had a conversation.
Yeah,
so
never had a proper conversation or anything. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's how he may be losing the North is by going down there and leaving Sansa in charge. Whenever we know that Littlefinger, he's got some kind of plot that he's planning and scheming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go back at the beginning, you know, all of the Game of Thrones was, all of the events were started because of Littlefinger. I mean, he's the one that conspired to kill Jon Arryn and got him killed, which ultimately led to Ned going down and being the Hand of the King, and then, you know, and then the King, Robert, gets killed, and yeah, so, like, he's the ultimate bastard of Game of Thrones, and he's also very smart. He's got his chess piece. He's done everything that I think he's wanted to do, except for make Sansa fall in love with him faster than he wants it to happen, and I feel like he's gonna do something. I don't know what it is yet. I don't know how he would get Sansa on his side. And ultimately, I feel like maybe Arya is going to have to be the one that comes there and saves Sansa from Littlefinger. And that's maybe the only way that Jon doesn't lose the North. But there's something that's going to happen there. I don't know what's going to happen, and that's like the biggest mystery to me, I think, right now with the show, is what's going to happen with the North now that John's left.
I don't feel like it was a good move for him to go to Dany.
Yeah.
I felt like he should have sent Sansa. Ah. I think that Dany would have been a lot more receptive to her than to John. You've got some dude that's calling himself the King of the North coming. Yeah. I'm immediately, I've got my defenses up. But okay, other than the fact that she might have been offended.
So if
by,
it was the Queen of the North, it's okay?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Okay.
She probably would have been offended regardless. But I just thought, you know, they'd be a little, I don't know, more receptive, girl power kind of thing. I don't know. I didn't think it was a good move. And for him to leave the North with all these people that have just pledged their loyalty to him when they're all going, oh, hell no.
Yeah, no, Robin agrees that with you that Sansa would have been a good choice. But I'm glad that you brought something up, because my girlfriend and I had a laugh and a chuckle over this as we're watching Game of Thrones, I think even before the episode started, because it's something you just said. You just said, you know, she would have been like girl power and okay, I guess could be a touchy one here, because I am a dude and I'm talking about this, but mm-hmm. I think it's funny to me that there's a lot of that going on with Game of Thrones right now. It's like, uh-huh. I mean, you look at the Dany's War Council, and it's, you know, it's Lady Olenna, it's Alaria and the Three Sand Snakes. Missandei's got a very big, you know, vocal part of her War Council and everything. So it's mostly led by women, right? Tyrion is there, but that's really it. You know, Grey
Worm. He's the hand of the queen. Her most trusted advisor is a dude.
I agree. But it's like, you know, a lot of people are like, girl power. Who are they fighting?
No, I mean, she's fighting Cersei. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Cersei is not female. She's not male. She's just beast.
She's just beast. I don't know. I thought it was funny the fact that, like, it's like, you know, now it's come down to like the battle of like all these chicks, basically. It's like, that's, you know, it's like them versus Cersei.
You would laugh about this if it was dudes. Would you point that out if it was dudes? I don't think you would.
Well, the only reason I point this out is because of things that my girlfriend teaches me and the things that my mom teaches me, that you women are sometimes meaner to each other than you are to, like, you know, like, it's so funny that, you know, because, like, you'll get together and you'll be like, girl power, and they're like, I hate that bitch.
Hey, God, that bitch. Did you see what that bitch had on?
Yeah, like, the other girl at the girl power meeting.
How much has she gained in the past week since our last meeting?
Exactly. I don't know. A total side note, but, you know, and please don't send too much hatred towards my way. I just thought it was a funny observation, the fact that it's come down to, you know, Dany versus Cersei at this one, because John doesn't give two craps about Cersei. Like, I know
he was the one that said, you know, I didn't want this.
Yeah.
You made me the king. I don't want to be king.
I don't want to be king. And that, again, I don't think he is the best king. I think Sansa, if she keeps progressing the way that she has been, mm-hmm. I think that she's the best overall ruler of the North, you know, of Castle Black, like of Winterfell and everything, like all that.
To be able to go head to head with Cersei,
yeah.
Sansa is the one. In my opinion.
I think at this point now, yes. I don't think Dany's prepared. I don't think Dany is not ready to go to the depths that Cersei can go, and Sansa would be, because of all the punishment that she's endured for all these years now at the hands of Cersei and the Lannisters and the Boltons and
she knows how they think, how they act, what they're gonna do. I was kind of disappointed in Dany. And when we came up with the topic of basically, of, you know, is she more than her just three dragons?
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm not really sure that she is. And she's not even using those effectively.
No, she's not. Honestly, she needs to let Lady Olenna run things. Because Lady Olena would get shit done. She is, you know, she's telling her, you're a dragon. Go take the throne. You know, these
burn
foolish...
Burn some shit.
Yeah, burn some shit down. These foolish men, you know how I outlived them all? I didn't listen to them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Tyrion, it was a very smart plan. And I agree, like, with a lot of the points of his plan and a lot of the strategic elements of his plan. But at the end of the day...
His strategy was great.
It was on point. It was on point. But at the end of the day, he should know better than anybody. Cersei plays the most evil game she can play. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not going to play by the rules. And that's what, you know, Tyrion, God bless him, you know, he does to me play within, like, the rules of, you know, like, combat where you don't sneak around and everything. You stand in front. You know, your lineup versus my lineup, and everybody just stands in front of each other and shoots. And whoever has the most guns ultimately wins that war. Like, that's
right.
That's how, you know, that's how other countries lost wars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, small countries that were small upstarts and wanted to gain their freedom from other people. I'm not saying any names, but we lived there. How they eventually, like, beat other nations. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that they, because they played, like, different tactics. And that's what Cersei does and Tyrion doesn't do.
Right.
I did want to say that Joe had a good point about Jon. Jon Snow needs to be a general and let somebody else rule. Totally agree
yes.
with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he is. He can fight some skirmishes. And I think he could have good plans out in the battlefield,
yeah.
But he's definitely not made to sit in the throne. And I feel kind of like you have to want it a little bit more than he does.
Oh, than John?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John doesn't want it. At the end of the day, I think John just wants to... I think John wants to die. Like, I don't think that John will live. I think John will see things through to the very end, and he will be there.
He wants to die again.
Yeah, die again, yes. But I think he wants to stay dead this time, and I think that ultimately what Jon Snow would want is to be like, you know, to be the Ned Stark and just stay the hell away from all the southern
yes.
politicking
right.
and just live up in, you know, in Winterfell and have the woman that he's in love with
right.
and live a very simple life. Jon is very like Ned in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Ygritte died, and, you know, that was the love of his life. And at this point, I think that he just wants to make sure that Sansa, the North, that they don't get destroyed by the Whites, the White Walkers, and the mm-hmm. Night King. And then I feel like if it, you know, came down to it, he would die happy. Like, say he like laid out the final blow on the Night King, but they both hit each other at the same time, and Jon Snow died in the end. You know, the
one goes this way,
one goes the other way.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. that double knockout.
Yeah.
And they
mm-hmm.
both die and everything. So
yeah.
I love Michael's comments about the fact that Tyrion is Bill Belichick and Danny is Rex Ryan. That is good sports analogy right there, in my opinion. Very good sports analogy. But when
which is awesome if I understood it.
I'm sorry, Mom, but I got you, Michael.
I know who Bill Belichick is, but that's all I know.
Well, Rex Ryan, he's just another head coach and always hated, you know, like he always wants to beat Bill Belichick, but yeah. Yeah. So, but go back to your point about, is Dany more than just three dragons and you not thinking that she is? Do you think that she's already lost the war before she ultimately got started?
You know, again, I was so surprised at that loss immediately. I thought they had a good plan. I thought it was like you said, it was a plan that was going to come to fruition possibly sometime down the line,
yeah.
But for it to just be cut off so quickly. So now what is she going to do other than use the three dragons? That's basically, I mean, or join up with Jon, which I hope she's smart enough to do.
I hope so too, because I mean, Euron has laid waste to her fleet of ships. You know, at the very beginning, I think they had the plan. They had the fleet of ships, you know, that how I wrote it down, like basically what they said that they had. They've got an army, fleet of ships, and three dragons. Now they just have an army and three dragons at this point. And Qyburn, with his freaking gigantic whatever that thing is, I can't think of the name of it.
It's a crossbow.
Crossbow, yeah, gigantic
huge
crossbow
crossbow.
Arrow. She may be down a dragon or two if she whenever she attacks King's Landing or Casterly Rock.
You have to. That's a pretty hard thing to maneuver. So while I can see getting excited about it, you know, punching a hole in a huge skeleton, which and that was what was so
Oh,
amazing to me was
yeah.
seeing that huge skeletal head and have Cersei stand next to it, and you realize how ginormous these dragons are. But I mean, it's nice for them that they've got something that makes them feel strong. I don't know, maybe Westeros is just going to burn, all of it's going to burn,
I kind
and
of that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting at this point. Like, I had a topic that I thought about us discussing during the recap was, you know, will the good guys win at this point? You know, George R. R. Martin has shown us over the years, like when you're going off of his stuff from the book specifically, the good guys lost a lot of times, and since it's gone off book, the good guys have been winning a lot of battles recently within season six and now in season seven. And now they just lost, obviously. We just had a major blow, as I'm saying, like the good guys always win. They just took an L really quickly. So
Okay, so Euron's got his prizes and presents now.
yeah.
Does he go directly back to Cersei? Does she marry him?
I think so.
I think so too. And Jaime's gonna be pissed as a mother, you know what?
Yeah, I think that's the downfall of Cersei at this point, is that she is going to screw Jaime over, and Jaime will kill her. Now, this is a I, there's like slight this is slight spoiler territory here, but I want to bring it up. So if you guys don't want to hear any types of spoilers at all, just like mute us for
Are
a
you talking
second or
about
two.
book spoiler?
It's not anything from the book. It hasn't happened in the book or anything.
Okay.
But
This
there's
is
a
something just that you dreamt.
well, there's a certain there's another aspect of the prophecy that Cersei was told, you know, whenever they had that one episode where she met that lady, and I forget what that lady's name was.
It was a gypsy out in the middle of the
Yeah,
woods that told her
exactly.
that you'll have your children and
Everybody was gonna die. Like your children are gonna die. You're not gonna marry a prince. You're gonna marry a king, and then another more beautiful younger one's gonna come and take your place. Well, there's a third part of that prophecy where it basically I don't remember what it is in High Valyrian because I don't speak High Valyrian, not at least on a regular basis. I do it in
I
off
know.
time. I do it, you
Yes,
know,
all
in
the time
secret. In
when we,
secret.
yes, when we're just talking, you do.
Yeah. But there's a certain part of the prophecy, Maggie the Frog. Thank you, Robin. I appreciate you. You've got the good memory. So there's a certain part of that prophecy that basically, when you boil it down, it says that that Cersei is going to be choked out by a younger brother, younger sibling. I think it's brother, though. I think it's specifically brother. Now, the thing about this is, everybody immediately points to Tyrion. They're like, Tyrion, Tyrion, Tyrion. Because we know that Cersei and Jaime are twins. You can be the younger twin, right?
Yes, definitely. One's got, they don't both pop out at the same time.
Exactly.
I don't know
Thank
if
God.
you've never been down there before, but
I
things
wouldn't
don't
want
go
to
that they don't go
be.
that they don't go like
I wouldn't want to be down there after that. That's for sure.
that.
Yeah, that would be terrible. You guys thought that the most disgusting thing you were gonna see was like or hear about was the exfoliation from Sam, and nope,
No, 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 no.
we just beat it just right there.
Twins being born at the same time. Yeah, so it could very well be that Jamie is the younger of the
Yeah,
two.
and Jaime could be the one that chokes Cersei out because I at this point I do believe that's the only way that Cersei loses because I think that now that because the other Tarly that we're going to talk about, Randall Tarly, potentially joining Jaime and going off to Casterly Rock and fighting the Unsullied in the Dothraki army, you know, I love Grey Worm a lot. I think he's awesome, but I don't know if he is going to be as skilled and adept at this lar these large scale battles. The same reason, like the same thing with the wildlings. The fact that Tormund didn't know like very simple battle structures
Right.
and you know that kind of stuff. I just feel like with Randall Tarley coming on there, apparently he's this great strategic warrior in battle. The fact that he is the only one to beat Robert Baratheon in the battlefield, that's a big coup for Jaime. And yeah, so I don't even know if I see. I feel like at this point she's just gonna have three dragons. Like she's you know, and maybe hopefully Jon Snow and the North, and that's how they're gonna fight. I hope that you know Grey Worm doesn't die. There's nobody in the Dothraki army that I really care about at this point.
I know, but I
So.
mean, he's going to die.
Yeah.
They had their tender love scene. He got the closest to a woman's vagina that, other than when he was born, that he'll ever get again.
Yeah.
And I know your favorite part of the entire run of Game of Thrones was
That
her
was a really
cupping her
creepy
rope.
smile I just made.
It was her. Well, it was either that you had to smile like that, or spit water out of your
Yeah, exactly.
again.
Yeah, no, that I you know,
But
I can go back to that scene. Yep, it's a good it was a good scene. That was I mean that probably got at least 1.5 bacons on its own just for that scene. And
yeah,
good job,
but
Grey Worm.
I do think that which is really interesting to, is it Grey Worm because it's shriveled?
I don't know. I
I
don't know
mean,
why he's Grey Worm.
there's no blood going to it, and so it turned gray. Anyway, I'm just,
You
you know,
digress. We
again,
this this the whole once we get into the Grey Worm Missandei scene, it just the
yeah,
conversation
exactly.
just
It kind
devolves
of
like
goes,
back to where we're
yes.
like 12 years old, I believe. So,
Exactly. But I think I want Cersei to die by Jaime's hands. I really do. I want it to be him. And I feel like they've been leading up to it
yeah,
at the end of last year. Was it
I.
last year?
Yeah, whenever he came back in and she or he
It's like,
saw her taking over as the queen and the
I'm busy
yeah, no,
getting a crown.
yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, Robin said it would be so poetic for it to be Jaime. And then Alex said, "Yes, Jaime is younger. I need it to be him." I'm with all of you guys. Like I think that it would be rough to see, obviously,
It
because I
would be.
mean,
I mean, they've been my. I've loved them
yeah,
together.
they're the
It's
couple
so
that
long. I
you
know.
like hate to love, but you kind of love them. I don't know. Yeah,
Yep.
it is very odd to even say that. It's really weird, at the end of the day. But for Jamie, to me, I want him to have like this ultimate redemption. I don't know why I want it so much for him, but I want him to still be around to be able to fight. The whites, the White Walkers, and the Night King. Like, I don't know. There's just a part of me that I want him and Tyrion, like, to finally get to come together and be in the ultimate battle, as opposed to these, like, you know, BS skirmishes
Yeah.
that Jaime keeps getting in. And I hate that he lost his hand because, you know, apparently, you know, Jaime was this ultimate badass. And I would have loved to have seen him like get to be like that battle it out knight and I get to be put in that book like he wants to be. Like he wants those pages filled with all these
Yeah.
good things that he's done and like the way that Randall Tarley spoke to him too, and I'm just like, dang, everybody just straight up
Yeah.
disses Jamie, you know?
Do not talk to my boy like that.
Yeah. Moms will come hunt you down if you speak ill about Jamie, so
That's kind of why I want him to kill Cersei. Leaves the door open for me.
Yep, the door will be wide open just for you. That is very true. So getting back to just like kind of everything, is Dany more than just her three dragons? At this point, I'm with you. I don't know. I feel like she should have listened to Lady Olenna and just straight up attacked King's Landing, just bombarded them with the Dothraki, the ships, and the three dragons all at once. I hope she doesn't lose a dragon because we're gonna need them. Because just like Davos said, what kills whites? Fire. And
Fire.
let's go get those dragons, man. But I don't know. She just right now she's a little bit too arrogant for my taste. A little
She,
bit
okay.
much.
Arrogant and naive because she let Tyrion totally change her plan and her mind on it immediately. So yeah. is the Lannisters going to be her downfall? The ones that she puts in charge, or one of the other ones? I don't know. I just thought she didn't have what it takes to lead. I mean, she's a baby still. She's just a baby. They're all babies. Yeah. They don't live long there.
No. No.
In olden times, they didn't live long.
No, they did not. It's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see what happens next with John making his way down there to meet up with Dany and to see what happens.
And your girl Arya.
Yeah.
Now that she's possibly headed home.
Hopefully she does. Hopefully she keeps going that way. You know, she had the reunion with Nymeria. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people liked that. It was great seeing them together, but it was just kind of... I totally understand, like, the metaphor, the fact that, you know, Nymeria was too wild and she needed to be out there in the wild. Same thing for Arya. She didn't want to be a princess and she
wanted to wear pretty dresses.
Yeah.
And...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, the whole, like, thing that D&D talked about at the end of the episode. I thought it was cool. And I think that was kind of really it for this episode.
We have not given our bacon scores.
No, we have not. I want to see, just really quickly, Alex said, I agree, Tyrion knows Jon is not going to be down with bending the knee. You could tell by his face. Yeah, Jon's not going to want to bend the knee to anybody. And he shouldn't have to.
Groovy great. He was like, yes, you know, he's a great guy. You guys need to get together and chit chat. And he must come and bend the knee, and Tyrion's like, "Ah, fuck."
Yeah,
that's not what I meant.
No, come on, Dany. You got
so once again, she's trying to exert her authority when at this point she doesn't really have any.
No, she doesn't. I mean,
except for the three dragons.
Yeah, the three dragons definitely gives her some authority, but not enough to just take over Westeros that quick and easy. Okay, so our bacon score. How many bacons out of 5 do you give this week's episode?
Okay. I'm going to give mine, last week I gave 5 bacons.
You're pretty high.
I was just really excited and riding the wave of, oh my God, it's finally back.
Yes.
So this week I'm going to give it 4.25 bacons because it was really good. The battle was awesome. This wasn't a perfect episode for me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But I mean, if it was all based on Sam, it would have been 5 out of 5 out of 5 out of 5.
I agree with you there. I agree with you there. So you give it a 4.25 bacons out of 5. This is tough because I gave last week's episode a 4.5 out of 5. I do believe I can't
something like that.
Somewhere around there. The Sand Snakes dying.
Oh, that's a 5 out of 5.
That's
for you, buddy.
That's a pretty high up bacon score. Like, I'm like, sweet Jesus, we're finally done with that storyline. Almost. Alaria's
and
gonna, you know.
Missandei taking off her robe.
That's pretty good. But then there was no Hound in this episode. So that's like going to deduct quite a bit because I love the Hound a whole lot. I think I'm going to agree with Robin. I think that this was a 4 out of 5 bacon episode for me. Yeah, 4 out of 5.
Okay.
There was lots of good things to like. I think, to me, you know, everybody's going to talk about the Nymeria reunion. To me, it was all about hot pie. Like, I love seeing that reunion. I thought that was fantastic. It was so sweet seeing those two talk together, and the fact that hot pie's like, and to think that I thought you were a boy, you're pretty. And I just chuckled.
You're pretty.
Hard. Yeah, you're so
pretty.
And she's
pretty. Like. Thanks, hot pie.
Yeah, exactly. So, but other than that, I mean, I thought it was an overall really good episode.
Of course, it's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's Game of Thrones. It's awesome. And that battle scene at the end was epic. I know that I have some you know, grievances with it, but overall, it was really badass. And it was brutal as hell. Like, seeing Euron, the way that he killed the Sand Snakes, that was rough. That was rough
to
watch.
He enjoyed it so much. I mean, when he picks her up on her spear... which, again, I can't remember those girls' names. Sister One with the spear. And, you know, just kind of shakes it. That was horrible. And then chokes the other one out with her golden lasso.
Yeah.
So it was rough. And then dishonors their body by putting them on the bow of the ship.
Yeah. That was a little bit much there, Euron, you know. Maybe you could have just left them on the boat, and even though as much as I hate the sand snakes, that would have been okay with me, but then you put them on on the front of the ship, and I'm like, "Oh man, Euron. I hate the sand snakes, but that's kind of a dick move for me." So
I know, but you know what? I do love him. Yeah. I love him. He's cray cray.
He is definitely cray cray. Man, Robin, how do you even remember the sand snakes? It's because they're better in the books, I think, because it's Oberyn with the spear and Nymeria with the whip.
Now, wait a minute. Okay, Nymeria. See, this is where Mr. Martin tried to throw me off.
Yeah.
Nymeria has the whip and the direwolf. The direwolf's name is very similar.
It's Nymeria too.
Is it the same name? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you've got Missandei and Melisandre, whatever. And they're in the same friggin' room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you bastard.
Tyrion and Tywin.
Yes, which has always thrown me off.
Yeah.
And then Theon, Euron, and... Yep. Sister.
Oh yeah, I mean they're all very confusing. Yeah. Bran and Braun, you got Bran and you
bastard.
Got Sir Braun of the Blackwater.
Yes.
Yeah. No. It's he. I mean, come on. At the end of the day, how many names has he had to come up with? So it's like I forgive him for getting a little bit close.
Somebody put back in the chat at some point. Why don't we have any Dons and Pats? You know.
I think that was Sue Ellen said that earlier. The fact that, yeah, the names.
Come on, let's have some real names, some regular names.
Yeah.
Some Justins and some Kellys.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why John's my favorite.
Yeah, exactly. It's
John.
The only one we can remember.
Yeah. John. John
like, I bet
Snow.
You spell it wrong every time.
It's J-O-N, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Don't you tell me that I spell my main man's name wrong. Get out of here with that.
I mean, it took me, you know, 6 seasons to learn Sansa and Cersei.
Yes. Yes, it did. I like Joe. Sauron and Saruman. Whoops, wrong story. Nice. Nice deep Lord of the Rings cut there. So,
good job.
Yeah, Robin Sue Ellen did have a very excellent point there with the names. That was pretty funny watching you guys. I was watching you guys chat about it down there in the chat on the live stream. It was fun. For all the audio listeners and the people on YouTube that watch this, if you want to be a part of the every week discussions live, you can go to our Facebook page. It's Rantpocalypse. It's just R-A-N-T and P-O-C, and then the rest of it will pretty much come up whenever you start that far down the line. Just go like that. Follow us on Facebook and get notified when we go live each and every week. But if you want to get it on demand, of course you can on YouTube. It's Rantpocalypse, or on podcast services, just search Rantpocalypse. So, and we would love for you to give us a rating and review on those things, because that greatly helps
us
out. We need those big time. Robin, thank you so much for your review on there. That was fantastic of you to do.
You know, when you change up your name a lot.
Yeah.
If I could just cut and paste all the old reviews, it'd be fantastic.
That would be so great. We had so many reviews for our old podcast, but that was because we also did them on a consistent basis. And, you know, we were always there for people. We might not have been the best recappers, reviewers of shows, but we were there for you.
We were there.
Yeah, we were there. You know those crappy shows that nobody else talked about? Like The Strain?
Oh, yeah, exactly. We were there.
We were there. Alex, thanks so much for joining us here in the live stream. We really appreciate it, and we would love to have you back. And, again, if you can't make it, like I said, you can go find the video on demand or the audio on podcast services. So that's all we got for this review of Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 2. It was a good one. Maybe
it
not
was.
As good as last week, but some really good stuff as well. Very excited to see Jon and Dany in next week's episode. So, and to see what she's gonna do. Like, holy crap, she's gonna have to figure out, like, I just lost half my army, half everything. All right, thanks for hanging out, guys. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your week. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
I need dollars. dollar, dollar, that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming and I reap what I done sowed. Hey, hey. Well, let me tell you something, all that glitters ain't gold. Hey, hey. It's been a long old